morning, my dear friends, my old friends, experienced friends, my new friends, young people here. I'm very glad to see you all and to bring your greetings from Eurasia United Methodist Church. It's my joy to be here, and I call this church, Christ United Methodist Church, my home, because since I became a Christian, this church has always been my partner, my advisor, my helper, and thanks to our mutual ministry, we have done a lot in Eurasia Methodist Church. Today we read the scripture, and I really wanted just to ask a question, because this is the new year beginning, and we always make plans for our new year, and I think it is a good question for us to ask: what's next? And let us think about it today. We read the scripture about Jesus' baptism, and you know, in the Eastern tradition, Eastern Christian tradition, this event is called Epiphany. So in Western tradition, the manifestation, when the Magi came and saw Jesus, that was when the Gentiles first saw the Son of God. And in the Western tradition, it is called Epiphany. In Eastern tradition, baptism is called Epiphany because it commemorates, so it is the appearance of when manifestation of the to the world Jesus as the Son of God. So the voice from heaven, the heaven opened and people heard the voice: this is my Son. And you know, these Epiphany moments are very important in our lives. And today I would like you to think about your Epiphany time, your Epiphany moment in your life, when it happened. So can you remember this? When was that? Or maybe you haven't had it yet. But think of this and try to remember. And then try to ask the question: what is next? We have some other people in the Bible who had this Epiphany moment. The Magi, or three wise men, oh no, there were not three, but it is a tradition says that there were three. So wise men came from the east, and they followed the star. They did their job. They read the stars. They got ready for their trip. It was a long trip, and they went, and they followed the star, and they found the place where the child was born. They fell on their knees, and they honored Jesus. They presented him with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And what happened then? That was their Epiphany moment. What happened then? They, you know what they did? They went back to their hometown, to their home country, and they, thank God, they went a different way because they were warned in a dream not to return to hear it. So they went back, and we don't know what happened next to them. What was next in their life? Probably they were satisfied just to prove that their scientific or astrology knowledge was right. They saw the star, they interpreted it as the appearance of a king in some place, they followed the star, they went there, and they honored the king of Israel, and they went back. Sometimes it happens in our life. We had this Epiphany moment. We say, oh, wow, Jesus, I give my life to you, and then we go back to our routine life, and nothing changed, but we just remember that sometime in the past that was a wonderful moment. We don't know what happened to this wise man. Then we have other people. We have shepherds. They were in the field late at night, and suddenly they saw an angel. And the angel told them, go. There is a new baby wrapped snugly and lying in a manger. So go and see him. Your Savior is born. And so when you read Luke 2, there is an interesting word. When they decided to go to see the baby, they said, let's confirm what the Lord has revealed to us. Sometimes we want to confirm. So God speaks to us and we try to just to find some arguments that he was right, that God was right. So so shepherds, they went to see Jesus. They went there, they found baby lying in a manger, and they reported what angel, what they heard from angels about the child. And then, what happened then? What was next? What was after the Epiphany moment? The Bible says, it was in Luke 2, they returned home. Yes, they were glorifying and praising God. For what? For all that they had heard and seen. They were praising the Lord for this epiphany moment in their lives. And we don't know what happened then. Were they changed? What happened? What did they do to praise the Lord? Or just it was their memory that once they saw Jesus' baby. One more person in the Bible. Simon, righteous and devout man, who was in Jerusalem, and he eagerly anticipated the restoration of Israel, and the Holy Spirit revealed to him that he wouldn't die before he had seen Lord Christ. And so he was waiting. He was old. He was tired. He was tired of waiting, but still he had this hope, and he waited and waited and waited, and here they are, Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. And he said, now, Master, let your servant go in peace. So sometimes when people say, go in peace, and mean, yes, you may just die in peace. And what we don't know what happened to Simon after that. That was his epiphany moment. And he prophesied, he said that this boy is assigned to be the cause of falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that generates opposition, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your inmost being too. That was his prophecy. That was great. But what was next? He was old and tired and ready to go in peace, to die. But there was another person in the Bible, Anna, a prophet. She was also there in the same place, and we know that she was a widow. And do you remember how old she was? She was an old lady. Do you not remember how old she was? She was 84. For that time, it was very old. For that culture, it was very old. She was 84. She was a widow. And she never left the temple area, and she worshipped God with fasting, prayed nights and days, and she approached at the very moment when Simeon held Jesus. Let Holy Spirit interpret my bad English to you. So he was holding Jesus. Thank you. Holding Jesus. I'm shaking you. Are you retentive or not? So he was holding Jesus in his hand, and Anna approached, and she began to praise God. And then the Bible says, it is the same, Luke 2nd chapter, verse 38, and she spoke about Jesus. And then the wonderful phrase to everyone who was looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. This old woman, probably she was also ready to go in peace, but she started telling people. She started telling her story, starting telling about who he, about Jesus and who he was. And I think it was a good start for a lady of 84. And think, all of us had this epiphany moment. What happened? There was another lady, but it was not in the Bible. This lady lived in Russia, and it was me. In 1993, I had my epiphany moment. I was a professor at the university, pretty successful, singing rock, jazz, smoking. So when this worship service started, Bob asked me, "Are you okay with the smoke?" I said, "I'm okay. I have smoked for 30 years." And I was invited to interpret to a group of people that came from Oklahoma, from different parts. And there were some people from this church, from Christ United Methodist Church. And that was my epiphany moment. And, you know, it starts with, for everybody, it starts in a different way. But when Ken Miracle sang Amazing Grace, that was, I surrendered. I said, okay, Jesus, you are my Savior and my Lord. And you know, it's very difficult sometimes to think about these two words, Savior and Lord. It is so nice that He's our Savior. He did everything for me. He did it instead of me. And so I'm fine. I praise Him. But then when you say, my Lord, you know what Lord means. He's my master. So that means that I do what He wants me to do. And you know what He said in His great commitment. So go forth and tell everybody and make disciples in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is what he asked us to do. If He is the Lord, we should follow this. So in 1993 was my epiphany moment. And what was next? I could stay in the university, and probably now I will be a very rich woman because of my good English, my good methods of teaching, good results, and maybe singing jazz. Probably I would get more money than preaching in Russia. It was interesting. One day I was in Michigan, and I sat by the piano and started playing, and my friend Jody, she helps me just to come here, and I'm very thankful to her. And her husband, he doesn't, he's not a churchgoer, but he listened to me singing jazz. I don't remember what I sang, maybe. I hate to see the evening sun go down, St. Louis Blues, I don't remember. What I sang something. And he said, why have you become a pastor? So you sing so well, you can, but you know, when God touches your life, you cannot stay the same. You cannot sit in the same place. You are not comfortable already. Though you have the same place where you live, the same job, but you are not, you want to do something. This is how Holy Spirit works in you. You cannot be the same. And what happened to me? I started sharing. I shared the good news that Jesus became the answer to all my questions, to everything that I questioned that life. He was the answer. And I started a church in Voronezh. I started the second church in Voronezh. Then I faced a lot of misunderstanding on behalf of my relatives and friends and Russian Orthodox Church and other people there. But still, I just keep going. I kept going. I could not stand. And then I started the ministry to the children with leukemia and their families. And then we bought a big building and started renovating it for the church. And it was a very hard time. And we also started the ministry to foreign students. I was tired. And I'm very thankful to the community, the Walk to Emmaus community, because I was invited in 2007 in Kalamazoo area to take part in this, I don't know how to call it, just epiphany time, just maybe. And that helped me a lot, and that helped me to really said, you are the Lord. There is only one God in this world, and thank God I am not God. And so I went on going. I went to the seminary to get my education. I was ordained. I started ministry to the handicapped children, and it was happening in all this happened in Voronezh. And probably that was time to stop. I was not already old, but still I was tired, exhausted, not very much tired, but probably everything was organized well. probably it was time to stop. But then again I asked, no, what's next? What is next? What is next? I don't want to stay in the same place and just rest in the clouds of praise. And I went to study to Methesco, it is the Methodist Theological School in Ohio. Then I came back. I wanted to come back to Moscow, but Bishop said, Irina, we can do without you in Moscow. I want to appoint you to Stavropol, which is North Caucasus region. And for you to know better what it means, usually in the Tsar Russia, people were sent to North Caucasus as a punishment. So I said, maybe Moscow. Bishop said, you'd better pray. Okay, I prayed, and I said, next time when he talked to me, I said, maybe Moscow? He said, you know, we can do without you in Moscow. We need somebody, he didn't say crazy, but he meant, we need somebody like you to go to that region, which is a multinational place. Muslims, Buddhists, and there are about 70 nationalities in the city. The city of Stavropol has 430,000 people. And so 70 nationalities and plus. And so he said, we need you there. And so I went there because I like this question, what's next? I didn't know that place. I went there and I served there already. It is my seventh year being appointed there as a local pastor, but that what not, one thing came with this, to be a district superintendent. And I became a district superintendent, seven churches, yes, it's not many, but to go to the Western Church, it is 500 miles, to go to the Eastern Methodist Church in my district, it is 400 miles, to the North, 350, to the South, 250. So, it is a big district, and I like it. I like it because, you know, when you have this epiphany moment in your life, you cannot stop. And I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful that we were able to start a ministry to foreign students in Stavropol and also a ministry to Roma children. Being an educator, I was surprised that there are people in Russia who cannot read or write. That was Roma, or so you call it gypsy. I was told it's not politically correct to call these people gypsy. They are gypsy. They travel, some of the, and some of them settled, and they live in this Novotroitska village. And we started a school for them. We helped them to do their homework because they go to the regular school, and in our place, they can. We help them to do their homework. And we also help the young children who are not school children yet. So we help them to be prepared for school. So, and we do this. And we bought a building there. And thanks to the Ministry of People in Germany, of Children in Germany, we bought a building to have more space. And I'm thankful to a church because you have been always a part of my ministry. And we were able to renovate this building. We still have to do some things there. But I will not say crazy, brave Americans came to the South Russia, and your department, State Department says, don't go there. There are terrorists. We haven't seen any. So, but these four people came, and I'm thankful to Ken and Chris and Brandy and Derek. They came and they helped us to renovate this place. And it is the place already for children, and their life will be changed. They will have their epiphany moment there. And I want you to show a short video about this place, how it was when we bought it, and the changes that we have done there together. Let us see. By the way, this is a gypsy music. You can dance. Woo! Your church donated the money to buy this sports ground and playground for children. So, and these are these four brave Americans. We built a ramp for handicapped people to have the access to our building. So we made the additional restroom for handicapped. We made it wider. So good marks, hope for the future. And I want again to thank your church being in ministry with me, with this crazy Russian woman, and because I'm crazy about Christ. So the first moment I met, I had this epiphany moment. And I know that God hasn't done with me yet. And that epiphany moment in you, try to remember today, when was that? And what is next in your life? I want to remind you the words from Acts chapter 10 when Peter was preaching to the Gentiles in Cornelius' house. He said that Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God. And We must become an incarnation of the mission of God, incarnation of the work of God. And I'm very thankful that we have been doing it together. And I know that last October your church celebrated 65th anniversary of this church. A great way you have gone, but still there is a lot in front. And I'm thankful for your hearts. So there is on my a poem, "My heart is in the highland." So I'm thankful to your hearts, whose hearts are in Russia, and with these children, and we minister there, and we can do it together. And incarnation is the work of God into our into the world, which is unfriendly context for us. So how do we incarnate the good news in our context? Look with the eyes of mission of God on the world and ask yourself a question. What is next? What is next? All of you have had this epiphany moment. And what is next? Please pray, process your experience of epiphany and figure out what is next? What is your plan? Go and do not stop. Your epiphany moment is still going on. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now I would like you to I would like to invite you to sing the song, and this is one of my last favorite songs, because it has very good words, and originally it is sung a little bit slowly, but you know I cannot do things slowly, so I do everything a little bit faster. So I just want to add some movement in this song. So please follow this, the words on the screen, and let us sing together. And I'm going to do it with my old friend, experienced friend, Ken Miracle. So.
Come and follow me if I but call your name. Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my love be grown in you and you? Behind, if I but call your name, will you care for cruel and kind and never be the same? Will you risk the hostile stare? Will the life attract or scare? Will you let me answer prayer in you and you? See if I but call your name. Will you set the prisoners free and never be the same? Will you kiss the leper clean and do such as this unseen and admit to what I mean in you and you? But call your name. Will you quell the fear inside and never be the same? Will you use the faith you found to reshape the world around through my sight and touch and sound in you and you? But call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I'll go where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow in you and you in me. In your company I'll go where your love thus I'll move and live and grow in you and you in me.